Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Praise the Lord for the children's program. And what a great job they did. They presented a great truth concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you would, go ahead and look to that very same passage of Scripture in Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2, and we're not going to read it all because I thought Blake did a great job in presenting that. He read every verse exactly word for word the way it should be read. And gave us Luke's account of the birth of Christ. And so I'm not going to reread that, but I am going to call your attention down to verse 10. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read this one verse. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Tidings of great joy available to all people. And let's pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced just being in church tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place, first and foremost. Thank you for the children. And God, for their desire to participate in this Christmas program and to present a message of the birth of Christ and what it means. And I trust that we would all, Lord, take that message and apply it to our own hearts. And now, Father, as we just look at this verse and we kind of bring everything together tonight, I pray that you would empower and bless the preaching of thy word at this point. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Can I tell you tonight that every birth is an incredible event? If you've ever had a child and you was there in that delivery room and you saw that natural birth and realizing that that's part of you and realizing that now you have that responsibility for that life that has been given, it's just an incredible event. Every birth, I was there at the birth of both of our girls, and I didn't pass out. Praise the Lord for that. I was able to make it through, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It just every birth is just an incredible event. When we have a physical birth, it gives us opportunity to live a physical life. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that is physical, and that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. And so those that get saved, then you have two births. You have a physical birth, and that's when you were born, and then you have a spiritual birth, and that's when you were born again, when you realize that you had a need for Jesus Christ, and you called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And at that moment, then you received a spiritual birth. God himself sends the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within you, to seal you to the day of redemption. And so that physical birth gives us opportunity to live a physical life. And sometime during that physical life, when you come to an age of accountability, you'll have an opportunity at that point to have a spiritual birth and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We have that opportunity because Christ came. We had that opportunity because it was God who was manifested in the flesh, and he came as a sacrificial lamb to reveal who God truly is, and he brought to us the New Testament scriptures. He established a New Testament church, and we're in this New Testament church age. We've been in this New Testament church age for some 2,000 years, and that dates all the way back, Christian calendar, all the way back to Christ. And we'll continue to be in this church age until Christ returns and raptures the church home. And we know that is something that will take place. We don't know exactly when that will take place, but we know it will take place. If he came the first time, and he did, and we have evidence of that, we should not doubt the fact that he will come again. Amen, as he promised that he would. But so because he came, and this was the date of his physical birth. The date of one's birth is a day of celebration. As you know, it's something that we all have. And we call that not a birth date, but we call it a birthday. And every year it comes around, and when you're younger, you celebrate it. When you're older, you try to forget about it and act as if it really didn't come around again, because that means that you're 1 year older. But it celebrates one's life. It's an anniversary, a yearly anniversary, to celebrate the date that you were given physical life. How blessing it is. We have children. We look forward to celebrating their first birthday and second birthday and all the way through. And it's just a date that we can celebrate one's life. How much more the birth of God's only begotten Son? Can I tell you tonight that we need to celebrate? It's coming up as a Christian nation, looking at adopting a Christian calendar. It goes back to 2,000 years ago. We have had on that Christian calendar December the 25th as the birth date of a day when Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, was manifested in the flesh, born of a virgin. Only begotten means one of a kind. There's never been one before and never will be one after. It was God who became man for us. It's a birth date that we ought to celebrate. Celebrate the fact that he was born to be able to dwell among us. And as the angels were presenting to the shepherds in verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." What a great occasion. No reason to fear. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Celebrate it. When you understand what it means and understand what it brings, the opportunities it brings into your life, it's great joy. Great joy. Because celebrate his birth, because his birth proclaims several things. The first thing that it proclaims that we need to be aware of is God's love for man. God's love for man. Christ's birth shouts when you understand that it was God who was manifesting himself in the flesh. There was a reason that he did that. And the reason was that he would become the sacrificial lamb, that he would come to live a sinless life, to establish a New Testament church, and then to go to the cross of Calvary where he would pay a sin debt that all mankind owed and could not pay. And he did that some 2,000 years ago. And after he did that, he looked up to the Father and said, "It is finished." 3 days later, as he said he would, he resurrected from the grave. And that's another date on the Christian calendar, a date that we need to acknowledge, and that is the resurrection, Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But his birth, as we're looking forward to that date, and December the 25th, coming up on this Thursday, I think it brings great joy when we understand that what it means and understand that it proclaims that God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that's all humanity, "that he gave his only begotten Son." So Christ's birth, it shouts it. It shouts it to all that are lost. Every lost man, woman, and child of the age of accountability needs to hear that God loves you, and he's proven his love for you, and that he died on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that you owe. He has a love for the lost. In Romans in chapter 5, and let me just read these for you, write these verses down and go back and study them possibly after the service tonight, but I'll move through these rather quickly. But in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He came understanding that there was no other way for mankind to be saved. God required a sacrifice. God required a blood sacrifice. The whole Old Testament reveals that to us. Jesus would be the end of all blood sacrifices. He would be that sacrificial lamb. And the Old Testament prepares us for that. And so he came, and his birth, he had to be born before he would be able to go to the cross. And as he was born, then he lived a sinless life, has given an example for all Christianity, for this entire church age, to have an example of how to live our lives. Have someone to look to as an example to follow after. Man's going to let you down. Christ will never let you down. His example is there. It's been recorded for us to read and study and to follow after. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, so Christ's birth shouts a love for the lost, a love for sinners. In Romans in chapter 10 and verse 12, it says this, Romans 10:12, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon him, on the Lord, name of the Lord, shall be saved." All sinners. That's why he gave, before he left, the Great Commission to the church. And the Great Commission, for all who are in church, realize it is to go into all the world and take the gospel, take the salvation message to every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability so that they would have a chance to rejoice over the great love of God and the opportunity we have to be saved. He has a love for the lost. God's love, his birth, and proclaims that he has a love for the saved. In Galatians in chapter 4, let me read that to you. In verse 4, it says this, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." He came to not only save us, but to bring us into the family of God. And so it's a love for the saved. God has a love for you as a lost man, woman, or a teenager that you would get saved. And then after you get saved, as we think about the birth of Christ, it proclaims God loves you as your heavenly Father. He sent his only begotten Son for you. He wants you to be adopted into this family. He wants you to feel part of the family of God. We have a sonship with God. And with that, with the promises of the Father that says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So it proclaims God's love for man. We need to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because it proclaims deliverance from death and hell. John 3:16 again says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish." Should not perish. It means without Christ, we will all perish and go to a devil's hell. Jesus told the woman at the well that she would never die. Even though she might experience physical death, she would never die because once you're saved, you're saved. And once you're saved, then when this physical body dies, ceases to exist, your spirit is released to go immediately, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation reveals the future of what's going to take place. But here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." In verse 18, he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He resurrected to be alive forevermore. And because of that, he says, "and have the keys of hell and death." Because he came, he offers us salvation. And as he offers us salvation, it includes this deliverance from death and hell. We need to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because it proclaims a free gift. A free gift. Can I tell you that there's a price paid for every gift that you might receive? And praise the Lord for those that want to offer you something free. Most, there's always something behind the lines in small print that's going to cost you something. But the gift of God is a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The gift of God. It's a gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, very well-familiar passage of Scripture. In Ephesians in chapter 2, again, it wants us to understand, God wants you to understand that it's not something that you can pay for. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something that you can work your way into. It's something that if there was any other way than God coming and becoming a sacrificial lamb and dying on the cross, he would have done it. But since there was no other way, Christ came. If there is another way, then he died in vain. And there is no other way. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God's gift. not of works, lest any man should boast. This gift includes forgiveness for all of our sins, no matter what they were. The Bible says that God, when He forgives, He casts as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back to your account. When you get saved, His blood washes and cleanses us from all sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you understand that, you know that you've taken advantage of it and you've received that gift, what joy that brings. What joy that brings. Yeah. Celebrate His birth. It proclaims God's free gift. And then lastly, tonight, we need to celebrate His birth because it proclaims everlasting life. Now, we don't know exactly what it all is going to entail, but we know that heaven will far exceed our greatest expectations. Very few things will exceed your expectations. Most of the time, your expectations, you have to lower them because nothing actually is what you think it's going to be. Heaven is going to far exceed our greatest expectations. You can't have too high of expectations of what heaven's going to be. We have this understanding because Christ taught us about heaven. Christ revealed what would take place. He first of all wanted us to understand that we have a no-so salvation. So we have this confidence no matter what takes place. If you know that you're saved, you know you have everlasting life. You have a place of heaven. In the book of 1 John in chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, he says this. And this is the record or the recording. God's written it down, preserved it for us through His Bible, the Word here, that we might have it. We've had this New Testament revelation, the completion of Scriptures for some 2,000 years. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's been the same for 2,000 years for us. The very words of God have not passed away. And He says this, and this is the record, the recording, if you will, that God hath given unto us, given, there again it's a gift, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. A no-so salvation. We go through this life, once you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, knowing that no matter what would take place, when your life is over on this earth, you have a home in heaven. God says, I want you to have that knowledge. I want you to live with that. Wow. What a blessing. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, I want you to know that. I want you to know that you have a place in heaven reserved for you. Reserved for you. I don't know if you've ever had reservations canceled and you show up and you thought you had them and they're not there and the place is sold out. That'll not happen for us when it comes to eternity because we find that God has reserved them. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says this. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible. The salvation, the free gift of eternal life that Jesus offers to all men and women and children of the age of accountability, it says it's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We can celebrate and rejoice over the fact that we have everlasting, eternal life, a home in heaven. One last verse, passage of Scripture found in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and the book of Revelation is a powerful book in the Bible. It reveals past, present, and future. Everything we need to know about the future is recorded in the book of Revelation. It tells us what's going to take place at the rapture of the church, tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ, and then eternity in heaven. You can only find that from God because God's the only one that knows. And as we look here in the book of Revelation that God has given to us, this is what he says about our eternity, our home in heaven. Verse 1, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. See, eternal life is not a continuation of this life. It's a totally different life, a totally different dimension. It's spirit. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There won't be any sea on this new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Think about that. A life where there is no more death. Neither sorrow, a life where there will be no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And this is what I want you to find joy in. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Not only are they true, they are true, but he says you can put your faith in them. You can count on it. Promise of God who created all things. The promise of a God who loved us enough to send his only begotten son to pay a sin debt that you and I owe that couldn't pay. All comes back to Christ. So I think when we think about the birth of Christ, I think we can all, if you know what God wants you to know about it, celebrate and rejoice over the fact that Christ came to this earth.